Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to be back with you. Libby and I had a good time off with family, and we always enjoy that. It's good to be back here with our church family as well. So come on in. We've still got folks coming in. We're glad you're on your way down. As we begin this morning, we'll do it like we always do. We want to give you an opportunity to say hello to some folks beside you, maybe folks you know, or say hello to someone you haven't met yet. So let's do that together right now. Would you stand with me and say hello to someone next to you? All right. Please find your seat if you will. We appreciate that very much. It's always a joy to see you from this perspective when you're saying hello to each other. It's a good time of fellowship. It speaks well of the love we have for each other. And hope you understand that and appreciate that. I want to read a verse with you this morning out of the New Century Version. It's a couple of verses here. It says this: they called the apostles in, beat them, and told them not to speak in the name of Jesus again. Then they let them free. That's pretty tough to take. They literally beat them. But the next verse, verse 41, says, the apostles left the meeting full of joy because they were given the honor of suffering disgrace for Jesus. We're going to talk today about how to handle those people who oppose you because of your faith. One of the ways the apostles handled it is they took it from those who dished it out to them, but then they left full of joy. They felt it a privilege to be able to suffer for Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you for looking after us. You're such a good God. We appreciate your grace, your presence, your blessings. Father, help us today to look at and begin to understand how we are to respond when there are people who push against us because of our faith in you through Jesus. Lord, may you bless our time of worship as you already have. We come here to keep our focus on you, to thank you, and to praise you for who you are and for how good you've been to us. So bless our worship, every aspect of it. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may know from experience, at times living the Christian life can be hard. There are certainly challenges to living the way Jesus says we're supposed to live. It can be difficult to live out our faith because of that. As a matter of fact, the International Society for Human Rights, which is a secular organization, not a Christian organization, they put out a report that says 80% of all religious freedom violations in the world today are directed against Christians. For 300 years, in the beginning of the New Testament, for 300 years, it was illegal to be a Christian in the Roman Empire. They literally fed Christian bodies to the lions. And Nero was taking people, putting tar around them, and lighting them on fire. But what most folks don't know is that the worst persecution of Christians in all history is happening right now in our lifetime. It's just not being reported. Currently, 380 million Christians worldwide face a high level of discrimination, persecution, interrogation, arrest, imprisonment, torture, even death. 1 in 7 Christians worldwide are detained or are imprisoned. Almost 10,000 Christian churches and properties are attacked in any given year. In North Korea alone, there are close to 100,000 Christians who are in prison for no reason other than the fact that they are believers, Christians. And about every 10 minutes, 2 Christians die for their faith around the world, but it's the most underreported story in history. We're in a series of messages called Maintaining Happiness in Your Life. Now, those statistics probably didn't make you really happy. So we're going to look at the last beatitude today, called Handling Opposition to Your Faith. It's the last of the eight beatitudes where Jesus says, if you want God's blessing on your life, he deals with this issue of opposition, of harassment for your faith, of persecution. If you have your outlines, look there with me at these verses in Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Jesus is speaking and he says, happy are those who are persecuted because they are good, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. When you are reviled and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers, wonderful. Be happy about it. Be very glad. For a tremendous reward awaits you up in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus and wants to live right will have trouble from others. Now, folks, in America, we don't really face persecution like believers do in other countries. What we face is pressure. Sometimes we are harassed. Sometimes we're put down or ridiculed or maligned or criticized for our faith. So we don't face violent oppression, but rather silent oppression. And we are tempted sometimes because of that to keep our mouths shut. We don't stand up for Jesus when we have opportunities to do so because we will feel like others will be coming after us, not physically, but emotionally. So what do you do? What do you do when you experience some form of opposition to your faith? Well, the Bible gives us some ideas. Fill your outlines in as we go along. Number one, one of the first things you do when you're experiencing opposition to your faith is don't be surprised. It shouldn't surprise you. 1 Peter 4:12, Peter writes, dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked when you go through painful trials that are like walking through fire, as though something unusual is happening to you. He's saying, don't be surprised. It would be surprising if it didn't happen to you ever. Don't be surprised. Things that may surprise you. Did you realize? I was very surprised. I looked up things that might surprise you, and here's what I came up with. It might surprise you that identical twins have different fingerprints. That, I had no idea. That was totally surprising. Did you know that a cloud can weigh up to 1.1 million tons? And airplanes drove through them? I don't know about that. Giraffes, this makes sense. Giraffes are 30 times more likely to be struck by lightning than humans. Well, duh. Maybe that's why they lay down when there's a storm around. Did you know that the Earth's rotation is changing speed? And so when we walk out and all of us get thrown this way, big surprise. All the world's bacteria stacked up on top of each other would stretch 10 billion light years. Thank God for the alcohol wipes, right? We're not carrying it around. The longest anyone ever held their breath underwater, I can't believe this, but I looked and looked, and they say it's true, 24.5 minutes. Dude, I can't even do that 0.5-minute thing, but... And this fascinated me. The fear of long words is called hippopotamostrosis equipoiop. I'm not lying. Man, the person... Can you imagine the person who's afraid of long words looking that up? And just, ah! So there are things that surprise us. Jesus said, don't let people, when they oppose you for your faith, they make fun of you, they ridicule you, they walk away from you, they're no longer your friend. That shouldn't surprise you. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Don't be surprised. Number two, when that happens, don't be afraid. When it happens that you're ridiculed, that you're opposed for your faith, don't be afraid. So how do you get rid of the fear of opposition? How do you get rid of the fear of disapproval? How do you get rid of the fear of being rejected? You do it by getting filled with God's love. Healthy people aren't afraid of rejection or disapproval in life in general, and certainly because of their Christian faith. Again, here's what Peter says about this. 1 Peter chapter 3. If you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't be afraid. Don't worry. Instead, worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Circle those words. Or as a matter of fact, circle the word worry and circle the word worship. Those are the two alternatives you have when you feel put down, when you feel pressured to be quiet about your Christian faith. You can either worry or you can worship. You can panic or you can pray. You can focus on the problem and the pressure and the persecution. You can focus on God. And that's part of what worship is. It's focusing on God. Don't be afraid. During China's Boxer Rebellion of 1900, insurgents captured a mission station. They blocked all the gates but one, and in front of that one gate, they placed a cross flat on the ground. And they told all of those Christians, you have one of two choices. You can walk out of this gate, and where the cross is, you can stomp on it in disrespect, and if you do that, we'll let you go. If you don't, we'll kill you. The first person that went out, and I understand this, fear all over his mind, all over his heart. He just went out, and he did that. He stomped over there, and they let him go. Six more people followed, six more, just like that, and they all went free. But the seventh one came up and said, I'm not doing that. They took that girl around, and they shot her. Everyone after that girl who got over her fear, every other one behind her did the same thing. That fear seemed to leave them, and every one of them were killed. There's no need for us to be afraid. First of all, thankfully, we live in a country where that's not going to happen. Why do we get afraid when minor stuff may take place? They'll make fun of me. They won't be my friend anymore. They'll go tell people about me and they'll make up lies about me. So what? Who really gives a flip? It shouldn't bother us. And even if it bothers us a little bit, we just press on. We just press on. There's really no need to be afraid. Don't be surprised. Don't be afraid. And number three, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You should never be embarrassed for standing up for truth. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Instead, thank God for the privilege of being called by his name. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Is an insult going to kill you? No, I didn't think so. Is a put down going to kill you? Is somebody calling you a name or trying to label you in a certain way? Is that going to kill you? No. Not a bit. So don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be surprised. Look what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Take a firm stand against Satan and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. What's he saying? He's saying that I don't need to be ashamed. In the first place, we're in good company. You're not the only Christian on James Island or John's Island, Folly, wherever you live. You're not the only Christian whose friends or previous friends may be giving you a hard time because of your faith, because of your stance, because of the things you will do and you won't do because you have faith in God. You have faith in Christ. It's been happening for 2,000 years, and it's not going to stop until Jesus comes back. Folks, listen, no matter what you do in life, somebody's not going to like it. Would you agree with that? I don't care what it is you're doing. Somebody's not going to like it. There's nothing you can do that everybody is going to like, because somebody's always going to disagree with you no matter what. You can't avoid disapproval. Don't be ashamed. Don't be surprised. Don't be afraid. Don't be shamed. So what can you do? Well, first of all, look at number four. You can recognize the source of the opposition. The ultimate source of anything negative that you go through because of your faith is not other people. It's not your coworker. It's not a political party. It's not some other nation. It's not some other religion. The real source of the pressure you feel to cave in, to not have integrity, the pressure you feel to be quiet and not stand up for what you know is right, that pressure is really coming from your enemy, Satan. We see all these other things and we think, this is it, this is it, this is where it's coming from. No, it isn't. The base of all of it is Satan. Satan is called the accuser of the Christians. His number one job is to put you down. He hates God. He hates anything God has created. What he hates most of all are God's children. Satan wants to hurt God, but he can't. But he does have access to God's children. And he'll do everything and anything he can do to get at you, to hurt you, to upset you. Folks, there is an unseen spiritual battle going on all around you. And this pressure to make your life miserable and to make you cave in and to keep you from doing the right thing, it's coming not from other people, but it's coming from Satan. I guarantee you this. If you're having a problem, if you're having a fight, ultimately, if you're in a relationship and you're being disagreeable or whatever, and you just think it's him, it's her, it's them, no. Go down deeper and see where it actually starts from. Deal with that. He's the issue. And when you realize he's the issue, you start focusing on God and saying, God, we want to deal with this because we think if this is better, if we can defeat him, if we can stop him from attacking us, then we'll get along a lot better. Y'all ever have heard of churches fighting? If you're here and you've never heard of a church fight, stick around. No, not here. I mean, just stick around. We're a non-denominational church, and that's great. I love it. We're basically Bible-believing, center, Christ-centered church, conservative, not one way or the other, But I was a pastor for 35 years. And you know what kind of church I was a pastor of before this? Baptist. You want to see a fight? Wednesday night business meeting, any Baptist church anywhere, show up. But do you know what's behind those fights? Satan. He's the one that wants to destroy the church and the local church and the members of the church. Recognize the source of opposition. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 6:12. We're not fighting against human beings, but against wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. Did you see that? Look at it again. We're not fighting against each other, human beings, no. We're fighting against wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. Remember who the real enemy is, or you're going to waste your time fighting a battle that really doesn't even exist. Think about this. Jesus, he was lied about constantly. You make a list of all things they lied about Jesus. They said he was a revolutionary there in the world at that point in time in history to overthrow Rome and to take Pilate's place. They were wrong. But they used to say, you know what? If we just get him on the cross, it'll be over. They said, he's got a demon. We need to deal with this. In one place, they said he was a drunk and a glutton. They said he was the devil incarnate. And they were wrong, but they were opposing him. How did Jesus respond to all these lies? Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2. They called him, speaking of Jesus, they called him every name in the book. And he said nothing back. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right. Sometimes, when people try to do that to us, sometimes we just like to let them talk, let them make a fool of themselves, and don't get in an argument. Just walk away. You want to frustrate them? Walk away. Don't argue with them. Recognize the source of the opposition, who is Satan. Number five, also then, refuse to retaliate. Refuse to retaliate. You are like Jesus when you don't strike back at somebody who has hurt you. You're like Jesus when you don't attack back somebody who's attacked you with a personal insult or threat or statement or gossip. Now that's hard to do because our natural self wants to do right. Fight back, get back, protect ourselves. The cashier at a store asked the customer, cash, check, or charge? And as the lady fumbled for her wallet, the cashier noticed a remote control for a television in her purse. And so she said, do you always carry your TV remote control? She said, no, but my husband refused to come shopping with me, and I figured this was the most evil thing I could do to get back at him. Legally. Oh, dude. Yeah, I just realized. Hey, guys, get another remote. Have one on the side. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. Never pay back evil with more evil. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone and never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, who has said, I will be the judge and I will take care of it. If it is possible at all. Now, it's not with everybody all the time, but as much as you can, live at peace. But when someone does something to you, doesn't mean you just have to get back at them. You have to repay them. Anytime I react negatively, I give that person control. You don't want to do that. You can't control what other people do, but you can control your reactions to what they do. Have you ever said, you make me so mad? Have you ever not said that? We've all said it. You make me so mad. When you do that, you admit who's in control, not you, them. You have the power to control your own emotions, at least to control the emotional response. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 4:19. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to the faithful Creator and continue to do good. There's something important here. Circle the phrase, according to God's will. Some suffering is God's will. Sometimes it's hard to understand what his will is regarding suffering, and sometimes it comes from somebody else. Sometimes the suffering may come from over here, but God's going to use it in your life to grow you. There are some people out there who say, no, God wants everybody to be happy. He wants everybody to be a millionaire. He wants everybody to have the best cars, the best boats, the best houses, and that God never wants anybody to suffer. The Bible says sometimes suffering is God's will for your life. It's one of the many ways he gets us to grow. It deepens your faith. It brings you rewards in heaven. It builds your character. It brings you closer to God. It teaches you to worship instead of worry. And number six, when I'm persecuted, harassed, oppressed, respond with a blessing. Respond with a blessing. Refuse to retaliate. You also do good to those who do bad to you. You bless those who hurt you. You respond to somebody with a blessing. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You don't make the world brighter by blowing out everybody else's candles. You overcome evil with good. Jesus got very specific. Look in Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, love your enemies. Now that's a challenge right there. I mean, if they're really your enemies, Jesus said, you need to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. And if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. What many want this verse to say is, if somebody does this to you, stick it to them. Get them back. Gossip about those who gossip about you. Put it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And people do that. I don't do that stuff. I don't read that stuff. But some of you do. People do that. It's incredible. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take up for yourself, but folks, any fool can fight back. Any fool can retaliate. Jesus says you got to love your enemies. You do good to those who hate you. You bless those who curse you. You pray for those who hurt you. And that can only be done by being filled with God's love. And it is a most powerful form of witnessing to overcome evil with good. Now, some people think when Jesus said that, then we're just supposed to be doormats. People can do whatever they want to, too, so we just have to sit there and take it. That is not what Jesus said. He said, turn your cheek once. They slap you, turn it once, not forever. That's abuse. He said, if somebody asks you for clothes, give them that and some more, but not your whole wardrobe. He said, if someone asks you to walk a mile, go 2, not 22. Jesus put limits on these things so we aren't going to be taken advantage of and we don't become somebody else's enabler. I'm not saying, no, we ought to follow what he said, but make sure we understand what he said and what he didn't say. Now, I know we need to be careful about that. It's going to be, if somebody really slapped me, I'm not sure I wouldn't retaliate. I can always get forgiveness, right? But if we respond the way Jesus said, Somebody's going to take notice. Wow, I asked for this, they gave this, I wanted more, and they said, uh-uh. I did this, and I tried it again, and they did, but no. Here's the interesting thing. Some of those public attackers will become private seekers. Right? If we treat them the way Jesus said, some of them are going to become private seekers. They'll start wondering about God. They might even get saved one day. If you respond correctly, some of your opponents will actually become your partners. We are to be in the world, not of it. So be different. Respond to opposition like Jesus did, in a freakish kind of way. On the way out in the lobby, you can get your t-shirt that says, I'm a freak. No. Should have done that. That would have been cool. When opposition, pressure come your way, the best thing you can do is follow the example of Jesus. Be the biggest freak you can be. Love and serve the one true God with reckless abandon, and get your freak on. Does that make sense? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the study you've given us through these Beatitudes. Jesus, the ones you spoke, the one you gave so many, many years ago, but which still don't just have a place in our lives, should be guiding our lives every day. Now, God, I thank you that we live in a society here in America where we're not going to be shot for our faith. I pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters around the world who literally lose their lives every day because of persecution. May you give them strength. May you give them an unbelievable sense of your power and your presence with them. And for us here, Lord, help us to handle the opposition that we face sometimes and to do so the ways you've taught us to do so this morning. Bless our time of response now, Lord. Whatever decisions or actions we need to make, guide us through it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come to this time each week. There's many folks who continue to take those lessons through with you as you go. A couple words of announcement here. Thank you again as we see the small group announcement. We have small groups all throughout the week. If you don't have a place where you can go, check with us. We'll let you. We'll start a new one. So we'd love for you to be a part of small groups. Our Thursday morning small group has had a new person the last 3 weeks, and it's growing like crazy. So come on out, be a part of a small group. I believe Ms. Luria said this may be one of the last weeks for this school supply drive. You can make a donation that will be used to purchase school supplies for those who don't have the necessities to put that together for their child. And we will help them out. So if you'd like to help out in that way also. By the way, I want to say before we do the one-on-one class, thank you for all those who sponsored folks to go to Carowinds. We picked the hottest day of the year. And now we have nice cool weather, you know, this week. That's the way it happens. So also, Pastor Kevin's working on the Grace Point 101. Some of you have been through that class. I'm sure you could come back again and be a part of that again. It will teach you the basics about what we believe, what we do here at Grace Point. Why do we do what we do? And then you can choose. It's not an obligation to be a church member, but you can choose to join the church after you've gone through that. And then a couple other quick things. Baptism at the beach will follow that. And then we're looking for folks who have some medical experience. If you have any sort of medical background, have worked in any sort of EMT work, basic first aid, any of that, if you could write that on your card and let us know. We just want to be ready, you know, to be ready for any situation here where there might be a medical need. So how about that? That's a good one. No opposition. Hey, can you tell we have a little fun up here? This is good. That's good. Take that excitement with you as you go and invite folks to come back. If you're a guest with us today, come by and say hi to one of the pastors. We'd love to meet you and just welcome you this morning. So let's pray as we go. Lord, thank you for this time we've had together. We do know that there's not a surprise when people come up against us as Christians. There will be some opposition, but we can respond accordingly with your love and your kindness. We can be a blessing to those who are just outright mean to us sometimes. Help us to be a blessing to those folks and to change their hearts and lives. Thank you again for this time we've had together. We love you, Lord, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.